Welcome everyone to the Instructional Leadership Show. I'm your host, Justin Bader, and this is episode 82, Preventing Teacher Burnout with Parkinson's Law. Today we're going to use a little known productivity principle called Parkinson's Law to figure out how to prevent burnout among teachers, which I think is a pretty substantial challenge for school leaders this year. So let's jump right in. Our essential question for today is, how can we use insights from Parkinson's Law to help teachers set boundaries and prevent burnout? Now, often we will talk about productivity on the Instructional Leadership Show. It's part of our evidence-driven leadership roadmap, which you can download at principalcenter.com. Just scroll down to the bottom and you'll find a download link for the whole roadmap. But today we're not talking so much about productivity for ourselves as instructional leaders as we are for teachers. And I think we have to be very careful in times like these giving teachers productivity tips and how to get more done. What we're really going to talk about today is boundaries and how actually setting some boundaries can make people more productive as well as better off in terms of their own stress level and well-being. So Parkinson's Law comes from a Briton named Cyril Northcote Parkinson, who lived in the 20th century, was a member of the civil service, was a naval officer and historian, and kind of a smart aleck. He liked to write satire pieces about the bureaucracy of the British government around the world, as well as in the UK. And he noticed that bureaucracy tended to grow completely apart from how much actual work there was to do. And he noted that people tend to create work even when there's not really work to do. And he left us with a number of insights into just how this works and what we can do about it. So the most famous form of Parkinson's Law, and if you're just tuning in and joining us, welcome everybody. Thank you very much for being here. Parkinson's Law states in its original form that work tends to expand to fill the time available for its completion. Now, in Parkinson's day, what he meant by that was that the bureaucracy tended to multiply, right? Like there would be more and more people hired. You know, people liked having people that they supervised. They liked for their kind of chunk of the territory to grow within the bureaucracy. But there are a lot of different applications that have been made of that over the years to different aspects of productivity. So if you go on Wikipedia and look up Parkinson's Law, you'll see a number of different corollaries to it, such as work complicates to fill the available time. And if you've ever gone in on a Saturday to get something done, you might have felt this tendency in yourself, in your own work, that, you know, when we have lots of time, boy, we really find a lot of things to do with it other than what we originally intended to do with that time. Another corollary, if you wait until the last minute, it only takes a minute to get something done. I've felt this personally when I knew I had to leave midday, right? I didn't have until 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I had to leave at, say, noon for a meeting or because I was sick. Over and over again, I would notice that when I had a hard stop to my day, when I had a deadline for finishing what I needed to finish, then I would finish it even though I didn't think I would have enough time. It works in a very strange way. Another way to look at this is that work contracts to fit in the time we give it. So work, maybe we think of it metaphorically not as a solid or a liquid, but as a gas, right? If you have a container full of gas, you can compress that gas and fit it in a smaller container. And I think to a great extent, work is kind of the same way. Isaac Asimov said, in 10 hours a day, you have time to fall twice as far behind your commitments as in 5 hours a day. So I like that take on it. So sometimes it's our own overcommitment that causes us to get less done. And finally, data expands to fill the space available for storage. So this idea can be expressed a lot of different ways, but the bottom line for us is that we need to give ourselves a deadline. We need to give ourselves a stopping point, or what I called a hard stop in a recent email. And many people replied to that email and said, thank you, I needed to hear this. I needed to hear that for myself, and I needed to share that with teachers to say, you know what, do not stay here till 7 o'clock at night. every night. You've got to go home. You've got to have a, you know, some time to yourself, because even though there are big problems in our profession right now, even though there are huge needs among our students that we desperately want to meet, we want to solve problems and help our students learn even when they're not with us in person, and we have a lot of maybe guilt over the fact that we don't have students here in person, we're not going to fix all of those problems by simply working longer and longer hours. Those problems are kind of located elsewhere, and if we try to make up for that by simply working longer hours, we're going to fall victim to some of these principles in Parkinson's Law. So check that out if you're interested more in Parkinson's Law. There's lots you can read online and different management blogs and productivity articles. But today we are going to talk specifically about the application of Parkinson's Law to teachers. And there's an especially alarming general tendency within the domain of Parkinson's Law. This is also from the Wikipedia article. The demand upon a resource tends to expand to match the supply of the resource if the price is zero, but the reverse is not true. And as I read that, I thought about teacher time and how we think about teacher time as free because we don't pay for it by the hour, right? Like teachers don't turn in their time cards at the end of the week and tell you how many hours they actually worked and then get paid accordingly, right? And kind of good thing, because the budget might be pretty wildly out of control if that were the case. But it's critical that we see teacher time as not a free resource. Even though we don't necessarily pay teachers by the hour based on how many hours they work, teacher time is not free. And even if teachers are willing to work endless increased hours, even if they're willing to put in unlimited unpaid overtime, there is a cost. It comes at a cost that I think we're starting to see as a profession. And that cost is primarily, ultimately, burnout, right? That's what we're ultimately talking about today, that we're concerned about burnout being the result of teachers working so hard. But before we even get to burnout, my friends, we have to worry about just sheer exhaustion, right? If we have teachers who are just exhausted because they're working all the time, that's going to have an immediate impact on the quality of their work. Like, I want people to be well-rested. I want people to be, of course, prepared and not, not showing up and just winging it. But we want people to be healthy and to be rested and to be relaxed after a weekend. And, you know, and we want them to bring that wellness that comes from having some downtime to their work, right? Like, we want the improved quality of work that comes from that. So we've got to keep people from working all the time. It is not going to get us better results for students. And we've got to have as a metric for when we're done, we've got to have a finish line, right? If there is no kind of moment when people have to cut it off and say, you know what, okay, I'm not going to work anymore, I've got to go home, got to eat dinner, got to go to bed, whatever, then it causes us to make poorer prioritization decisions. And you may have felt this if you ever, again, went into work on a Saturday and thought, you know what, I'm just going to get caught up on a whole bunch of stuff. Well, it's really easy to get into rabbit trails and things that don't really matter all that much if you don't have any kind of cutoff point. If you can just work on whatever as long as you want, it's easy to waste time. And yet we don't feel like that time is worthless. So that can lead to a sense of resentment toward the work if we don't have any time left for ourselves. You know, if we see our friends and family members who are in other lines of work, when they go home, they get to be home and not think about work all the time. We're rewatching The Office right now on Netflix. And if you watch The Office and there's an episode where they get to the end of the day and it hits 5 o'clock and everybody just kind of stands up and walks out. And I thought, that's kind of a weird sight to see as an educator, that everybody would just leave because the clock says so. Like, that is not normally what happens in schools. And in some schools, there's almost even a competition to see who can stay the longest, right? Who can work the longest hours and not be seen as a slacker. And it becomes this kind of toxic competition to see who can put in the longest hours. I think we've got to be really, really careful about that right now. And I think we really have to encourage people to go in the other direction and say, you know what? Give yourself a cutoff time. Do not work until 7 o'clock at night. Please get out of here. You're in the custodian's way. Go home. You know, prep. Do what you need to do to prep. But please give yourself time to go home and relax and eat dinner and go to bed and read a book. You know, we do not get better results for students when teachers work incredibly long hours. And what can happen over time is it can become kind of accepted that teachers need to put in these ridiculous hours. And people can start to kind of lose their sense of self-efficacy and get cynical about the ridiculous hours that they're putting in, instead of saying to themselves, you know what, maybe I just shouldn't put in these ridiculous hours. I think we've got to be the ones as leaders to say that and to give people permission to go home, to to let tomorrow be tomorrow, and to say, you know what, I did good work today. I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm not going to put in another 2 hours. I need to go home. And by sending that message as instructional leaders, I believe that we can help overcome this tendency toward a martyr complex, right? This idea that I'm only a good educator if I'm making a big sacrifice. You know, if I have a heart attack in the line of duty as an educator, that's a sign of valor. Like, we've got to get away from that kind of thing, because students don't benefit when we don't take care of ourselves as educators. And this comes down to a lot of what we praise, what we reward with attention, and you know, when we say nice things about people. Is it because they have done a great job and stayed healthy, or is it because they're sacrificing their personal well-being to be there a long time in the building, regardless of its impact? We've really got to focus on what actually benefits students, not how much of a sacrifice it is for the adult. So back to our essential question for today, how can we use some insights from Parkinson's Law, this idea that work expands to fill the available time, to help teachers set reasonable boundaries for their work and prevent burnout? That is our question. And here is, let me see how many steps I have in this, a 6-step process that is very straightforward. When I share this with you, you will not be surprised. You will say, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Why am I even bothering to learn about this? It's going to make total sense. And my reason for mentioning this and spending time on it today is to challenge you to actually share this with teachers and set these expectations. Because if you don't, chances are that you have some staff who are on the verge of burnout. They really need to hear this from you. So number one, give yourself a quitting time, right? You do not need to be at school at 9 o'clock at night. I mean, unless there's some sort of emergency, right? Now, maybe you supervise basketball games or something like that, and there are occasionally things that keep you working or at least on campus into the evening, but those should be relatively rare. You should design your job, and you should design the job of teachers so that it is doable in a reasonable number of hours. And I'm not going to tell you what that number should be or what time of day I think you should leave. This is up to the individual, but I want to challenge you to let your staff know that it's helpful and valuable and appropriate to set a quitting time for yourself, to say, you know what, I'm not going to work past 5 o'clock on campus. I'm going to go home. Maybe I'll do something else, you know, later tonight, but I'm going to go home by 5, just as a hard stop for the day. That's step number one. Step number two, figure out what you need to do. Look at your to-do list, keep it in an app, or use a planner. Our Instructional Leadership Association members get a planner that they can print out and use to keep track of your to-dos for the day. But make yourself a list and say, you know, these are the things that I need to get done. And then look at the clock, look at the calendar, and say, this is how much time I have to do it in. From there, step number three, again, this is not rocket science, prioritize your list. Put things in order. What is the most important thing that must get done first? And then number four, do that first. Do the most important things first, save the least important things for later. And here's why this is critical. If we're going to have a cutoff time, you may not get to the least important things. And that is okay, as long as you have done the most important things first. I feel, again, a little bit silly saying this as productivity advice, but often we don't do this, right? We make our copies first, and then we do our grading next, and we do our planning last. And by the time we get to that, we're kind of fried. Do the most important things first. And then if you reach your cutoff time and you haven't done something else, it's not as big a deal. And that's a dynamic process, right? Reprioritizing so that you can get the most important things done as you get new information, right? Kind of reshuffle your priorities as you go through the day, as you learn more. Maybe you review some student work, maybe you're doing some grading, looking through students' assignments, and you realize you can actually skip part of tomorrow's lesson. Well, great. You can reevaluate at any time and reprioritize as you need to in order to be able to quit at quitting time. So the final step, number six, stop when you're out of time. Go home, close the laptop, close the email, put your phone away, and go do something else with your life. So a very simple, very straightforward process for setting healthy boundaries with Parkinson's Law. Recognize that if you give yourself all night to get your work done, it will take all night. Recognize that if you do not give teachers permission to have a quitting time, they will, out of guilt or out of obligation, work all the time, even to the point of burnout. And we can recognize this as a general idea if we look at kind of an extreme case. So let's do a thought experiment for a second. And imagine that through some advancement in robotics or medical science, you were somehow able to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What problems in your school or for your students or in your work would that solve? And what problems would remain unsolved no matter how much you worked? If I think about the most vexing problems that your school faces as an organization right now in meeting students' needs, I am going to guess that those problems are not fundamentally solvable through additional hours of work. Perhaps right now you have a lot of students who don't have good wireless access, or you have a lot of students who don't have the, you know, the support from an adult or the quiet space or the, you know, just the opportunity at home to really be able to work independently for long stretches of time as remote learners. Or perhaps you have students whose individual needs make it very difficult for them to learn on their own. There is probably not a very direct way that by working more hours, you can personally solve that problem. And yet I see a lot of educators grinding out those hours and working themselves to death because they feel guilty about all of the unsolved problems that we're facing right now, right? Some of these problems are very difficult. It is very difficult to get high-speed wireless internet to all of your students when many of them don't have it already at home, and you're in a rural area and you have hotspots and you've given out hotspots, but the data is running out and some of them don't work because there's not even any cell coverage where some of your students live, and other students, you know, there may be, limited space or limited access to devices. You know, these are problems that you are not going to solve between 6 and 7 p.m. on a Tuesday. So you've got to look at your calendar, you've got to look at your to-do list and say, what is actually going to make a difference for my students? And the rest, maybe I need to let some of that go, because I may be focusing on that extra work to relieve my own anxiety and guilt about not being able to solve all these real problems. And I would suggest that we're all going to be a little bit better off if we go home and eat something healthy and exercise and stop trying to deal with it in those kind of unproductive ways. So we've got lots and lots of problems that we can't solve very effectively right now, lots of real barriers to student learning. I believe that we need to focus on what we can control or what we can influence. And for those things that we can't, I think we have some opportunities to look at creative solutions. So I want to close with this. Again, reinforce this idea that work expands to fill the available time. Share that with your teachers. Let them know that they are not going to heroically solve all the problems in the world by staying until 9 o'clock at night. Give them permission to go home, you know, to make a list, to work that list, and then when the clock runs out, go home. Set those boundaries, because your work will fill up all of your time if you allow it to. But I want to leave you with this just kind of thought exercise. If there's still something that's so vexing to us that we just really feel the need to do something to solve this problem, even though there doesn't appear to be a direct way we can solve it, I want to encourage you to think imaginatively. Don't think in terms of working extra hours. Think in terms of imagination, of how could we solve some of these big problems for our students. And one example that I want to give you just as a, you know, food for thought is, what if we have limited Wi-Fi, we have these hotspots, they're out of data, some of our students don't have a good signal at home, we can't get them Wi-Fi, they're not allowed to come to school right now, maybe, you know, school is all virtual for the time being. What if our biggest priority was simply to get students to read? To read independently at home, or to have someone at home read to them. Could we do more to get kids to just read? Even if we can't get them to attend Zoom classes for 6 hours a day, even if we can't get them to watch videos, could we get books into kids' hands and get them to read? Usually, the solution to some of our biggest problems is not doing more of the same work. It is doing different work, and probably not doing that work single-handedly, but thinking creatively about how you're using your entire staff. Could you drive books? Could you have someone on your staff drive books around to kids' houses and say, hey, here are some books for you to read for the week? Maybe the kids could call and say, hey, I want a book on baseball, you know, and somebody could drop off that book at their house. It's a radically different way to look at how we're using employee time as an organization that puts the work back into the realm of doability, right? Like we could actually do some of those things, even though we can't control the Wi-Fi and the cell signal and all of that. So if you have any of that remaining guilt about what we can't do for our students right now, apply it in terms of creativity. And I would love to hear what you come up with. That's it for today. This has been the Instructional Leadership Show, episode 82, Preventing Teacher Burnout with Parkinson's Law. Have a great day.